go ahead and pass out the papers. These are different outlines this evening now than what we had this morning, so be sure you get one. This goes with the morning outline. While they're passing out the outlines, let me quickly say that with great joy and pleasure that I've had in the preparation of these lessons and the study of them with you together. I'm just having more fun with it than I have a right to have. I've had people ask me when I was going to talk about the men. I've had people come ask me that and ask me when I was going to talk about the women. People come out and ask me when am I going to cover this and when am I going to cover that. And well, I don't know. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to cover all that we can cover in 23 lessons, and that's all we'll get to, as much as we can get to. But certainly there is a joy in studying these things together, and I've already begun to see the discussion that's going on somewhat between individuals over the things that we're talking about, and that's where you're going to grow. You're not going to grow in just what's said from the pulpit here. But when the husband and wife or the dating couples or other individuals take the things that we talk about and you go home or as you meet, you talk about these things, that's where you're going to grow. And as you do that and as we see that, we need to rejoice because that is the implementation of these things into our lives. Mal mentioned one thing in his prayer that I was thinking about the time he came across it there, and that is I want to express a very special concern for those who are widows and widowers during these discussions. Mary is, may you have many, many good memories as we talk about these things. Because if I sat in your seat, you know, you've not got the things to deal with anymore that we've talked about in these things as far as the relationship between you and your mate. But may the things that we talk about not bring the suffering and the sorrowful aspect of, may it bring the good memories up to you. May you think about your relationship with your mate when they lived and praise and glorify God for the relationship, for the marriage that you have, and remember the good things. That's what you should do. I pray that as Christian people, that's what you're able to do, especially with those that were Christian mates. So we have a great deal to cover tonight, and we're going to cover two main aspects. And the very first one that we're going to go into is the most important thing as emotional needs goes for, and that is her need for affection. And as we cover this, there's naturally going to be things that we will not talk about because we're in the group gathering that we're in. And I'm going to at times say, now, if we were in class, we would do this. You're going to have to go home and do that. We can't do it for everybody here being in the worship time like we are. But the two things that we talk about tonight, I was conversing with Lane earlier today, I believe it entails about 80% of the emotional needs in the marriage. And if we can get these two things in place, the other 8 emotional needs that we're going to look at next week will kind of all fall into place, but these two are very great emotional needs, and these emotional needs must be in place. Matter of fact is, a marriage cannot survive as God wants it to survive if these two are not in place. Now, that does not mean the marriage will not survive. We recognize that our goal is not just to make a survivable marriage. Our goal is to make a marriage that has the joy in it that God wants the marriage to have in it. It's for the marriage to be what God wants it to be throughout the time period that that marriage exists. Now then, only a fool will sit here tonight and say, I don't have anything I need to do in my marriage. Now if you're one of those, you're a fool. Because there's always things that we need to do in our marriages. And as we go through and discuss these things, we're going to come across some things that we all need to make changes in. You know, affection's the cement as far as from especially the female, the wife's aspect, that holds the relationship together. If you take a woman in a marriage and she is getting the affection that she needs, she is going to hold fast in that marriage. She's going to enjoy that marriage. Now, we need to understand that affection occurs on both the men and women. It's something that God gave us. It's a part of it. It's as much a part of us as breathing and as the physical is. The desire for affection is a part of it. But it is different for a woman than it is for a man. If you look at a woman, women are much more affectionate than men are. You know, if you just watch as women meet each other, a lot of times they'll hug each other, they'll hold each other's hands, they'll demonstrate their affection for one another in some way. Now, on the other hand, if two men demonstrated their affection on that same standpoint, you'd be asking questions about them. That's how different we are. And we need to recognize that. Even in women, if you look at women, and especially with babies. Now, both men and women show affection for babies, but women show a very special affection for babies. They lavish over the baby. Women can spend hours on the same baby, showing affection and more affection and more at their own, I guess. But anyway, more affection. No, we show affection for our own. Now, what we need to recognize, God gave women this quality so women would be what He wants them to be. And because they have this degree of affection, they supply not only to the marriage, but they supply to the home something that the home very gravely needs. You take away the affection of the wife as she becomes a mother, and that affection is removed, then you have children that are raised with great difficulty in that home because they miss something that God intended for them to have. God intended for there to be hugs. God intended for there to be a show of affection inside the home and also inside this marriage relationship that we are now studying. Let's just look at some Bible examples, and this is found in the Bible. We always will go back to the Bible to show the Bible relevant. Genesis 26, verse 8. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Now, over the years, I've had a lot of debate on this verse. What is sporting with your wife? I've had everything suggested to me that it was from cuddling one another to hugging and kissing one another to actually having sexual relationships with one another. First of all, I don't believe it's the last of these. Because what they were doing was something that they were doing in public. It was an action that they did in public that was reserved for man and wife. What they were doing was showing affection to one another. And here, no doubt, that as he showed his affection to her, they got caught in this aspect of showing of affection. Now, this tells us a lot about affection. First of all, there are some aspects of affection that are shown in public that are reserved for married. In other words, there are some shows of affection that are not intended for people who are not married, not intended for single people. And single people need to understand that. I do not have the right to show affection in dating that I have to show in marriage. God has drawn a distinct line, and He expects us to keep that distinct line. But here also, as we look at it, it is proper for there to be affection in married couples. Here it's noted, and it's a positive thing that was noted about this relationship, this affection that was shown here. Again, as we look at another example, go to Peninnah and his treatment of Hannah. Now, Peninnah is the husband. I got Hannah's name out right. I've been getting Hannah's name wrong for a week now. I've been saying Hannah and I got it out right tonight. Anyway, Peninnah and Hannah here. If we look at their relationship, first of all, we'll look at three verses, and then we'll come back and look at them. It's 1 Samuel 1:5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. 1 Samuel 1, verse 8. But then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And then 1 Samuel 1, verse 23. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seemeth thee good. In other words, do what's good to you. All right, so here Elkanah has talked to Hannah, and you see this demonstration of affection. First of all, in the very first verse, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Now, he had given a greater portion elsewhere, but Hannah got more than she was due as a single individual. He made sure that she had provision. That is a very important aspect in showing affection to the wife. God made the husband to have the provision responsibility of the family. And so here he fulfills that responsibility. He makes provision for her. Secondly, he gives her recognition. He looks at Hannah. Something's wrong with Hannah. And as he looks at Hannah, he begins to ask these questions. Hannah, why are you crying? Hannah, why is it you're not eating? Hannah, why is it your heart's grieved? A good show of affection also is that recognition. Just simply understanding when something is wrong. Recognition of something different in the life. Recognition of something that needs to be addressed. There is a great value to that, and he gives that value. Thirdly, he gives her reassurance. He says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? She was fretting over the fact that she had not had a son. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of Anna better than 10 sons could take care. Oh, what reassurance. She's not going to ever want. She's not going to ever lack. He loves her. He loves her so much. He guarantees her that he's going to be there to take care of her. And then in the very last verse here, it says, you see this care and this trust. It becomes and it overflows. He says, you do the things that you need. He yields to her desires, her needs. And oh, what a show of affection. If we could just learn in marriage to have that concern for the other party's needs. It's so sad that many times, though, in the marriage we get so concerned about what we want. What I think I need out of the marriage instead of taking the concern to what the mate needs. And here in the affection toward the woman, the man needs to see that it helps a whole lot if he has affection toward her to answer her needs. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Here in the New Testament, look at the aspect of the connection with this subject that it brings. First of all, he says, you deal with that wife with knowledge. In other words, you deal with your wife with understanding. Fellas, that lets us off the excuse, well, I just can't understand her. I'm sorry, the Bible says you deal with her from that standpoint. The Bible says that you work with her and you love her and you talk with her until you do understand what the need is. And so instead of just excusing ourselves with the fact when some need comes up, I don't understand her, I don't understand why it's that way, the Bible calls us. Husbands, you dwell with them according to understanding. Now, notice second of all, he says you give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. You place a value upon her. You have a respect for her. You recognize a quality about the wife that she is the weaker vessel. You recognize that she is not you. This is part of the affection. When we expect our wives to do the same things that we do not show toward them the affection that they need. First of all, we're not affectionate like they are. Secondly, we don't need the same degree of affection that they need. So we have to give honor to the wife, knowledge unto the wife. We have to recognize her need. And we have to recognize her need with great respect. Now then, in the text of this, because he's talking to Christians, he comes down and he says, if you give this recognition, you'll come together, you'll be heirs of the grace of God, or of the grace of life. This is the cement that brings the relationship to be what God wants it to be. And so this brings to us a very important aspect in having this right relationship in marriage to show the affection that we need to be showing. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Here he brings the husband's love of the wife down to the most affectionate terms that most men can understand. He says, husbands, it is the case that I want you to love, first of all, and this is agape love. It's the highest degree of love. He says, you love your wives with the sacrifice of your life. Now, you're going interesting in our study. He doesn't tell the wives that. He tells the wives, phileo. You said you phileo your husbands. You show them that warm, compassionate, physical aspect of brotherly type of love. But to the husband, he says, no, you love her more dearly. Matter of fact, is to the husband, he says, you love her to a higher degree. And that's necessary. Now, as we look at this again, he does not use phileo. He doesn't use eros. He's not talking about sex here. He's not talking to the husband and say, you have that sexual love for your wife. That's not what's being talked about. But anyway, he says, you love that wife as your own body. Now he turns and he looks at the body. He says, as you love yourself. And then he describes the nature of loving oneself as he would his own body. He says, you nourish her. Now, the word for nourish that he's used here, it really involves a lot of aspect of raising a child. Some of the old grammarians said it goes back to even the aspect of nursing the child. He says you have a relationship with your wife that is a tender, nurturing relationship. Now, friends, that's affection. And that's what God's talking about here. He says, men, you have that type of affection for your wife. Now, it's interesting as we look at the next word. He says you take that wife and you cherish that wife. And again, it's a word that's used to describe the bringing up of a child. Strong says that this word means to brood or foster. Now, you know what to brood means? It means bringing up. In the animal world, it means an adult animal bringing up all of its young, all of them at one time. To foster is a term that means to provide everything necessary to bring one to maturity. Now, is there any question about where we get the word foster or the term foster parents? They are parents that are put in place where the real parents have not done their job, and they are there to bring up the individuals to full maturity, as from childhood through full maturity. And so here he uses these terms and he says, husbands, you have this relationship, you have this tenderness, this aspect with your wife. Now, as you look at this language of affection, and it is this language, fellas, it is a language that we generally do not speak well. It's a language, this language of affection, that includes words, but it is spoken in so many other ways also. Matter of fact is, I do not know very many men, but what can use a great lesson somewhere or another on the aspect of how to be affectionate, especially when it deals toward the wife. Now, just to warn you young ladies, gentlemen are somewhat more affectionate in dating than they are in marriage. So when you're sitting there and in your mind is going at all, but I've got, let me tell you something. Sometimes things change. And sometimes those changes come because of just simply the facts of things we intervene in our lives. But nevertheless, this is the language of affection. Number one, the wife in her affection, she wants to hear somewhere, somehow, you are important to me. I have failed in my life to do this as much as I should. But we need to let our wives know how important they are to us. Number two, she in her affection wants to know that I am going to be with you. She wants to know the husband, hear him say it, hear him demonstrate it, hear it come out some way in his life that I will be with you. She wants the stability in the affection. Thirdly, she wants to hear the term some way or another, I'm going to take care of you. And I know we live in a modern world. We live in a modern world that says women and men are all the same. They're all doing the same thing. The man doesn't need the woman anymore than the woman needs. That's junk. That's modernism. When you get down to the real hard facts of it, that woman somewhere in the way wants to know that you're going to be there to take care of her. There's things that she cannot do, and vice versa. If you lose her, you're going to find she was doing things that you cannot do. And sometimes you're going to find that she was doing things that you can do, but you don't want to do, but you have to do. Okay, next she says, I am concerned about your problems. If I am affectionate toward my wife somewhere in the aspect of life, I have to say to her, it matters to me what is bothering you. Oh, fellas, how easy it is to just go on. And lastly, I appreciate the good job that you're doing. We expect our women today to keep the home, to keep the children, to do a job outside the home, take care of social engagement. Shall I go on? Somewhere, somehow, fellas, we need to say, I appreciate everything that you do. After all, fellas, when we get down and we get honest about it, there's a lot of things that they do that benefit and makes it look like it's stuff that we've done. So these things say that I really am concerned about you. I want to demonstrate my affection to you. Fellas, if you give your wife the affection that she deserves, she's going to be with you all her life. If you fail to show her the affection that she needs, a lot of things can happen, a lot of things that are not good. But also as we look at this, if you give her affection and show her the love through affection that she needs as this number one thing in her life, she'll work her fingers to the bone for you. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have this relationship with your wife that she does anything and everything that you need. She goes far beyond what she'll work herself to death. As long as you give her the proper affection. And then also, if we look at this affection, if you give this affection that the wife needs, you're going to build brownie points. Now, that might not be important to you until you understand how valuable brownie points are. We're going to spend an entire lesson talking about love banking. And we all have a bank account. It's called a love bank account. Every individual that makes deposits draw from their bank account. When the bank account goes broke, relationship's in bad trouble. So you need to make all the deposits you can to the love bank account. Well, I get a lot of brownie points. I get a lot of love dollars. I get a lot of love things from simply showing affection to my wife. Just simply, if she knows that I care for her, will cause her to put deposits in my bank account that I can't get in there any other way. And oh, they're so valuable. All right, then at the same time, when we fail to speak this language of affection like we need to, it brings some sad things. If we don't show affection to our wives, it leaves her to seek affection from somewhere else. Now, I always get this about this time. Well, she's a Christian. She wouldn't do that. My friend, she shouldn't even be put in the position to be tempted with it. It is not right for her to be put into a situation of temptation because of my failure to do what God wants me to do, and that's simply to be affectionate to her. But at the same time, this could happen. It could cause an affair. The matter of fact is, most affairs begin, from the wife's side of it at least, simply because they don't have the affection at home that they need. And so they go to find the affection outside of the marriage. And they don't intentionally go there. That's what we need to understand. When there is an emotional need not met, we'll seek for that need to be fulfilled. And sometimes, unintentionally, that need will just wind up and get fulfilled somewhere. If she's not getting these affectionate needs home, and it might be at work that somebody says a kind word to her, says, well, I like your hair today, or you sure look nice in the dress that you're wearing today. And boy, that feeds her affection. She has no intention of that affection going anywhere else. But my friend, once the emotions get started churning, anything can happen. It doesn't have to be reasonable. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It doesn't have to be righteous. Anything can happen. And so that's why it's so important for us to work on the emotional aspect of this affection and have this affection in the home. When the man fails to speak affection, she could become hardened. It might be the case that she wouldn't leave the marriage, but she'll start having anger and backbiting and fighting and hate and lack of submission and rebellion. Let me ask you something, fellas. If it is the fact you have trouble getting along with your wife in the home, stop and ask yourself the question, am I doing my part in showing her the affection that I should show her? Now, if that's a little rough, fellas, I'm sorry, but a lot of times when it's these things coming out of the wife, there's a reason for it. And a lot of time, it occurs because they're not finding the love and affection that they need to find inside the home because we've simply ignored them. Okay, and then if we look at this aspect, we need to understand that the implementation of affection requires a little bit financially once in a while, but the returns are very great. Let me suggest to you that affection can be shown in ways that doesn't involve finance hardly at all. I was talking to Lane as we go through this lesson. I'm probably getting more out of these lessons than anybody. But I was talking to Lane as we're going through these lessons. And I think one of the greatest ways that she has shown me affection over the years that I relish the most, and I've got a drawer at home, my underwear drawer, by the way, but anyway, underneath all of the stuff in that drawer is a bunch of cards that are made out of construction paper. That's gold. There have been so many times in our life that we didn't have money to do anything with, but she never failed to demonstrate her affection in some way. And so those little old cards were made. I got to India one time and opened a suitcase and had a card for each day in it, made like that. Oh, by the way, fellas, are you listening? Your wife will show you how she wants to be treated affectionately. We're going to come across this in a minute. And the things that she does is a lot of times the things that she likes to receive back. Okay, so there are great rewards to be paid for this. There's a very little cost in it, actually. No, we need to express the thankfulness for the things that they do at home. This is just another way that we can express our affection to them. You know, look at the wife. She washes the clothes. She does the meals. She does the dishes. She cleans the house. She gives special help for things that are not even her duties to do. Sometimes she even drives a sweeper truck, doesn't she, Henry? Okay, so our wives do all these things in the home. And as they do all of these things in the home, we need to turn to them and say, thank you. Thank you. But yet many of these things, because they do them in regularity, and, you know, I don't say thank you for doing my shirts until what? I get to the closet and I can't find a shirt in it. No. Let's tell them thank you for all of the things that they do. And then speaking the language, offer requests, unassisted requests for, let me get this out. Help them with something unexpectedly. You know, if we look inside the home, what would happen if you picked up your own dirty dishes? Now, some homes, this is a regular practice. In our home, we made it a regular practice. Everybody at mealtime, when you finished the meal, you picked up your plate, you carried it to the sink. Nobody left the table till the table was clear. Some homes don't work that way. It might very well be that a husband has to expect wife to do it all. Help her sometime. Help her clear the table and see what happens. Take the vacuum away from her sometime and finish vacuuming the house when she's doing it. Or help with a family in a special way, in an unexpected way. Do something with a family that generally she does. Maybe she's the one that always takes the kids to their sporting activity or something. Help out, do that sometime without her expecting it to be done. These are all demonstrations of affection. Give her the special treatment. And out of the expressions of affection, this is probably the one that the woman loves the best. Just a little special affection during the day. And fellas, those of us been married for a while need to learn some lessons here. Special touch. Holding hands, rub on the back, a hug, a little kindness during the day, a kind thought goes a long way in filling up the affection that she needs. And you know, this really shouldn't be under special treatment, but it has to be because we forget it. We don't do these things like we need to. Take her out for a meal. I feel sorry for Elaine. There's nothing I hate more than eating out. I'll ask her, well, what would you like to do? I'd like to go eat out. Oh, me. You know. Take her out for a meal. It shows your affection. Fellas, it's not just the meal she gets. She doesn't have to cook and clean up. You take her out for the meal. That taking her out for that meal might very well say to her, I thank you for all the meals you have prepared. I thank you for all the plates that you have washed. I thank you for all the love that you have given if you just simply take her out for a meal. And oh, the old standby flowers? Give her flowers. Some like them, some don't. But, you know, sometimes it's, maybe flowers have been abused for the special occasion. What if you just bring her flowers for no reason? I knew a man one time, told her the story of him. He always wore a red rose on his suit. He was a preacher. Always had a red rose. He wore a suit, best back few years suit everywhere. Always had a red rose on it. Somebody once asked him, where did the red rose come from? He said, there's a story behind that that's none of your business. But every day, his wife bought him a red rose, and he wore it. Now, sometime maybe we'll talk about the story behind it. Okay, and then so you can also give a card or a note expressing love or give her a call during the day. Not a call for a purpose, you know, not a call that says, I need you to do this, 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 this. Just a call. Just a call to see what she's doing. Speak the love language. Don't forget special occasions. And give her a gift. Give her a gift that's more sentimental than practical. I quizzed Lane last night. I said, what gifts over the 35 years that we've been married mean the most to you? And she told me about a silver chain I gave her at the 40th, her 40th birthday, I guess it was. And then she told me about two little hearts that I gave her on a necklace. She missed the microwave that I bought for her once. Don't tell her, but it costs more than the necklace did. If we're going to show our affection, we need to show it in ways, and it needs to be in a special way. Not just something that, you know, we were so cheap that everything had to be practical. You know, in showing of affection, sometimes it needs to be something that's not practical, something that just has a good sentimental quality, good sentimental value to it. And above all else, don't give her a gift that's for yourself. bought my wife a pickup this year. You know, I know people that hunt that buy their wives guns. Wife never uses them, but they buy them one. I wonder who uses them. You know, so when we look at this show of affection, let's be sure that we do what's affectionate for her, not something that we're doing for ourselves. And so so often we do things in terms of way we want things done instead of recognizing the way that she wants things done. And follow the wife's lead in the expression of affection. She'll take you where she wants you to go. Let her lead you. Let her show you the way that she likes for affection to be expressed to her. She'll let you know whether that rub on the back of the neck is something that she enjoys or not. She'll let you know whether the gift is something that is very special to her or not. You know, and if all else fails, just sit down and ask her, what do you like in the section? See what she says. Now, I always got some old fella sitting by, and you see the null sign out in front of this. That means that don't. You noticed the heart disappeared in the background, didn't you? Because I've always got some fella that says, well, I'm not the affectionate type, and she knows it. Oh, I guarantee you, if you're not, she knows it. I agree with you in that much. But also in the aspect, if you're not the affectionate type, you know, there are things you can do to become affectionate. God tells us to learn to love, and part of learning to love is learning to be affectionate and to show that affection. And we need to recognize, if I'm married to a woman, she needs some affection. If I think she does not, then again, I'm a fool, and I'm living a life that's a life of danger, because I'm forcing her to be tempted in other ways to get the affection that I don't give her. So if I love her, I need to be. I can become affectionate. I can learn that affection in many ways. Matter of fact, is I can let her coach me. Now, I know that goes against most men's nature. But in the matters of affection, I can let her coach me into the right ways to be affectionate. But I've got to learn some other lessons. And fellas, I don't mean to be crude, but affection is not the beginning of sex. That's the number one mistake that's made in marriage. And the idea that if we have affection, it's automatically, quickly going to lead to sex. Listen carefully. The sex relationship in marriage will never be right unless it is tied to affection. That's for the men. Women, affection in the marriage will never be fully and completed for your mate unless there are times that that affection ends in the sexual relationship. Now, the things that we've just said are the things that cause the number one problem in marriages. So this aspect of affection is very important. Develop a plan of affection and learn to show affection. You know, it might seem odd at first. Here this fella that has no affection at all, can you imagine him coming to his wife the first time and trying to say, I appreciate you for the things you do? Fella, it's going to seem awkward. It's going to seem odd. It's going to seem not real. She's going to say, what is wrong with him? What got loose in his brain today? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. And keep doing it. The only way to change behavioral actions is a day at a time. And you start working on the behavior that needs to be changed. You keep, and it's odd and awkward at first, but after a while, you know what? Since God put affection in us, after a while, it finds its natural place. If I'm not the affectionate type, I'm not the affectionate type because something other than God made me that way. Now, after a while, you'll get to have a little confidence, and the affection will come where it needs to. Bottom line of it, fellas, I don't care if you're an old dog. You can learn something new. Don't excuse lack of affection. and leave your wife miserable in the marriage. Now, here's some things that happen that we need to see in the process of living. It's called the loss of affection. You remember back when you were dating? Those of you that are dating, and you don't have to remember too far. You remember you're dating. So in this dating process, often affection is shown without even thinking about it. You know, sometimes gifts are given at special times and don't think about it. Just want to give a gift and go get the gift. And often in the dating process, fellas, you'll treat her royally. You know, she is the best girl in the world. I'd do anything for her. Often in the dating process, even we have to watch the physical expression of this, because if we're not careful, the physical expression of this admiration will get out, and we'll have the temptation to commit fornication, and this temptation is fought because of the admiration that and affection that's continually shown, and we have to keep this in check to be what God wants it to be inside the dating process. But then you get married. Surveys show that in marriage, men have the tendency to decline in their show of affection. I don't know why it is. I guess because we've already got her. Well, I'll tell you what, fellas, at my age, I want to keep her. And if I want to keep her, I need to learn to meet her need of affection. In marriage, we'll let her open the own door. We'll forget special days. We're in too big a hurry to show affection. It's like the old preacher said, you know, before we got married, he went out and he opened the door here to the door if necessary. And after he got married, he'd expect her to open the door. She was jumping across a mud puddle holding two kids in her hands. And that's the way we are sometimes, in the lack of affection. But sometimes the family changes the affection between husband and wife. Now, I don't want to mislead you there, but, you know, there is a lot of love in a home, and there's plenty of love to go around, and there's plenty of affection for everybody involved. But sometimes inside the home, the affection between the husband and wife might become less, because there's always somebody in between you, and there's always less personal time, and there's always time that you're tired, and especially at the time of showing the most affection in the marriage, you're so tired you can't do anything, but you're ready just to go to sleep. Young couples with children, you will make special time for affection. You'll let affection die out of the marriage. Go on a date. So, well, we don't have to date. We're married. No, you have to date. You have to have special time for the affection. Number two. Learn to put the children and keep the children in the children's place. Now, I was always preaching, and Lane and the kids were always sitting out in the auditorium. You ought to have been there the day that sat on the back pew and it all flipped over in the middle of the auditorium while I was preaching. But anyway, Elaine always sat in the auditorium with the kids. When I got the opportunity not to preach, to sit by her, I sat by her. I had four different children sometime that would try to find between me and her. It was my rule that when Daddy can sit by her, you don't have a place by her. Keep your place so you can keep your affection for one another. Okay, so sometimes these things are challenges in the home. We're going to get down to some more important things here in a minute, but we're out of time. I guess we're going to do this all the way through this series. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's lack of planning on my part or just too much material on the part of the question of marriage. I appreciate your attention. I will make you this promise. If you will make a commitment to stay with me through all of these lessons, I'll never come up here unprepared to talk about the subject at hand. okay, regardless of what it cost. I believe the lessons that we're studying are that important, because what we're talking about is what holds the Christian home together. And friends, if we don't get it held together by having the right, righteous, godly stuff on the inside, the attacks from the outside are going to destroy us. That's the importance of these lessons. I think I can challenge you that if you've been married for 50, 60 years, there are still things that we will cover that will help your relationship. Because I've been married to Lane for 35 years, and that's like being married to someone twice that long, and it's still helping me. I believe it'll help you. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for You creating us like we are. We're thankful, Father, for these wonderful emotional needs that You have given to us that bring into our lives in so many ways the things that You desire for us to have. Father, those of us who here are husbands, we pray that You would help us to demonstrate the affection in the way that is righteous before Thee and provide the affections that our wives need in our marriages. Father, we ask You to help the wives that are here to be recipients, to receive the affection in a way that will cement our marriages together as we stand before Thee. We're so thankful, Father, for all that You've given to us. As we continue to study concerning marriage, we pray that You would help our marriages. Help the marriages that will be someday from those that are assembled in this auditorium. And Father, we pray especially for the widows and the widowers and the divorced individuals that are here, that the things that we study will be in a way a joy to their hearts also. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you need to respond to the gospel's invitation this evening, as always when we assemble together, it's open for you to respond as together we stand and as we sing.